be arrested, but we must persevere because we cannot fail. We cannot fail. He goes around giving people permission, as you know, to disobey the law of God. He works, he heals, he quote unquote heals on the Sabbath. We know that God has given us the law as a way that we are to fulfill our righteousness. No one who comes from God can be against the law. And not only that, they're starting to say he might be the Messiah. Just like Simon Perea 30 years ago. We must put him down. We must stop him. Our faith, our relationship with God, our very people are threatened. He even claims to be the Holy One. We know that these bodies cannot contain the Holy One. But I know some of you are wavering. Some of you are caught in or being deceived, just like the ordinary folks are, being deceived about how he might be of God. You're being deceived by his turns of phrase, his interpretation of the Holy Scripture. We must be faithful. We know that there is a Messiah who will come. But we must be firm. We must be clear. We cannot waver. When you encounter him, speak from Scripture. Because the truth will out.
Blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought to the leaders the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the leaders also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the leaders said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And so they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He's a prophet." The people did not believe that he had been born blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age, and he will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the people, for the people had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the meeting place. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here's an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but does listen to one who worships and obeys. Never since the world began has it ever been heard of that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sin, and you're trying to teach us?" And so they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe," and worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the leaders near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." This is the gospel of the Lord. Oh, he's got a loony. That's fantastic. Yes, please. Hey.
Does that loony give me extra time?
Let's see. Sure.
Okay. In the lesson, it talked about he was born blind so that God's works might be revealed.
Uh-huh.
Do bad things like blindness have to happen for God's works to be revealed?
You know, this is the part where it gets revealed that this isn't scripted. You know, it's a really interesting question. I suppose that if everything were good all the time, that we wouldn't have any need for God. You know, if everything went our way, I don't know why we would pray to God or need God, but it seems to be that in the midst of suffering and badness and bad things, that people turn to God. And I actually think that this is how people learn to depend upon God. Bad things happen in their life, and then they turn there, and they learn to find strength in God, and then they learn to lean on God even when good things are happening. But do they have to happen? I'm not sure. I just know that it seems to work that way, that that's what seems to connect people to God. Yeah.
Do we tend to miss a lot of real-world miracles?
I don't know. What do you think?
I think we do.
Yeah, let's look out here. What do you think? Do we miss real-world miracles? I think God works in mysterious and wonderful ways all the time, and in particular when we're relying on God. You know, if we were to walk around in the world with, if you can imagine my glasses had God lenses, if we were to walk around in the world with those kind of lenses looking for God in the world, I suspect that we would find God everywhere and we would see miracles everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I'd say, yeah, we do.
Yeah. Okay. This guy that was formerly blind, he says that God does not listen to sinners in verse 31. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Do you think that's right?
I would be a really bad pastor if I said I thought that was right. Here's a conundrum. I'd be a bad pastor if I said I thought that was right, but if I say that I think that's wrong, then I'm kind of saying the scripture's wrong. So welcome to my conundrum. But I will say this about that. I think that when people are actively sinning, actively being evil and doing bad things in the world, I think it's pretty arrogant to say that what they're doing is coming from God. And perhaps this is what the scripture means, is that when bad things are happening, people shouldn't claim that that's a result of God hearing them and then producing that action in the world. I think that God is much bigger, much mysterious, much more kind, much more loving than we give God credit for. I do think that it's God's mission and plan to redeem the whole of the world and to do it through friendship and peace and simple, kind acts. Our friends in the Intercultural Dialogue Institute kind of have a mission for their organization that I kind of like it. This isn't how they say it, this is how I say it, that world peace is going to come through friendship. And I think this is God's work, to bring world peace through friendship. So I don't know if this helps or not.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right at the very end of that passage, there's the part that I don't understand. Maybe you can help me a little bit more. Jesus said, you know, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. I'm missing that.
Yeah, you know, in the Gospel of John, Jesus talks in lots of these sorts of conundrums, and they're meant to have us go out into our life and think on these things. I would say that, you know, whenever we think that we have the truth, or we think that we're right, we're perhaps farther from the truth than we think we are. And I think this is what this saying is meant to point to, is that if you're arrogant about knowing God, or you're convinced or certain that you have the truth, you might want to take another look at that. Particularly if you have a small-minded notion of God and how God works in the world. Is it helpful at all?
I think so. Say a little bit more.
Well, I would say this. Maybe this lesson will send us out in the world to rethink what we think we're certain about concerning God. If we were to go out into the world and re-examine our places of certainty, those might provide openings for God to do something unexpected. Mm-hmm. So where we're sure, we kind of close down possibility. And where we're not sure, we tend to be exploring and experimenting and more open, and that gives God room to show up and for us to put on our glasses and see God in new ways.
Okay.
I don't know, sometimes the answers make more questions, don't they?
Yeah. So this story contains a lot about physical healing. Now, with advances in modern medicine, we go to doctors for healing nowadays. So I'm just wondering, you know, how have advances in medicine impacted our relationship with Jesus, do you think?
Well, I could actually answer this question by turning it around to you. What do you think? This is what pastors like to do a lot. What do you think, right? Because the reason we do that isn't because we don't have an answer ourselves, but rather, I think in the conversation, the dialogue, in us examining what we think, we have a more robust conversation, and then we can try to reason our way through things and create more possibility. Because I think the fact of the matter is, we don't really know. We can't really say for certain that God isn't behind all that medicine. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'll ask you what you think.
Well, I think it makes me believe more in, or leads me down the spiritual part of Jesus rather than the physical part. So, I mean, you know, we all will have various ailments and illnesses in our lives, and healing of that illness may not be what it's about, but it's our relationship with Jesus that's the important part, is kind of where I get to.
That's a super great answer, Arnie. Like the blind man says, you know, one thing I do know, and maybe two short stories. This can be part of your time here. Two short stories. My favorite uncle was diagnosed with cancer, and the cancer was spreading, and they were pretty sure that it was going to be terminal, and so they offered him experimental treatment, which he decided to take them up on that. And he was at the time fairly estranged from God. He at one time was on the road to become a Catholic priest, but instead he took a different route and married my aunt, which kind of says a lot about my aunt, I think. But at the time that he was diagnosed, his marriage was kind of rough. His relationship with his kids wasn't so great. He was pretty far from God. But everyone in his life began to pray that he would be healed. And of course, I'm sure that people do that too, like we pray for healing. And about maybe 7 years in, I had the opportunity to have lunch with him, and I said to him, you know, how are you doing? And he said, well, I'm going to die, and this part's pretty rough because the cancer's in my bones. And so he had a broken arm at the time, and they knew that his arm wasn't going to heal, so they just splinted it. They were doing those kinds of things. Like, it was really, really bad. And he said, yeah, and people are really upset because they think their prayers aren't being answered. And he said, but here's what I'll tell you. I've never been closer to God. I've never been closer to my wife. I've never been closer to my kids. I've never been closer to my friends. So you tell me if I was healed or not. It's fantastic, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Second story. One time we were doing a round robin at Lent, and we had five churches, and the pastors were each taking somebody else's congregation, so we each prepared one service, and it was based on the prophets. And so I did one prophet, and I just went to all five churches. And in the middle of my service, I had healing, and I asked people to come forward towards the altar and sit in a chair for laying on of hands. And then I invited the congregation, whoever wanted to come and lay hands on that person. And I said, you know, this isn't a very Lutheran thing to do, but it's not unchristian. And so here's the direction. If you're sitting in the chair, just try to empty your mind and imagine that it's Jesus' hands touching you and bringing you healing. And if you come forward to lay your hands on the person, just imagine that it's not you standing there, but Jesus working through you. Like, you can be present, but empty yourself and ask Jesus to come and fill you and touch this person in our place. And so, you know, it's kind of weird for Lutherans to do that, but nevertheless, this is what we did. And about 5 years after that service, I happened to be in that congregation again, and there was a man who had been sitting in the chair who came to talk to me, and he said, I really should have come and found you sooner, because that night, when people laid hands on me, I was healed. He said, you didn't know it, but I had stage 4 cancer. They told me there was nothing they could do. I came to that service. In my next appointment, they did a scan, and I was completely cancer-free. So I leave you with these two stories. That healing doesn't always look the way we want it to. It doesn't always come from the sources we expect. But I think it always has the potential to draw us close to Jesus. So I say yay medicine, mm-hmm. and I say yay Jesus, yeah. and I don't really have an answer.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. good. That kind of answers all my questions.
Great. Did it leave you with new questions?
Yes.
Fantastic. That's the whole point. Peace be with you,
yeah,
Arnie.
Thanks.
Yep. Thanks.